Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure, touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
It is the 26th of April. It's Monday. It's a brand new week. Good evening and welcome to the Blue Table. My name is Mervyn Hanley. Tonight, Rohan Isles will join me as we will discuss trending topics, trending news items this evening. Remember, if you're just visiting the website, you can download the app, the podcast app, The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley. Download the app and you'll receive notifications, the latest in breaking news and more. Very happy to have you. So many of you now are logged on to The Blue Table nightly, Monday to Thursday, and I do appreciate all of your support. Yeah, tell you what, let's take a break. We'll hear from the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis and Anchor Podcast, and we'll be right back with The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley and tonight's co-host, Rohan Isles. We will be right back.
Everyone struggles at times. Even we too have our own struggles. Do you have a loan at the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis and have fallen behind on your payments because of financial difficulties? Have your financial situation changed? If your answer is yes, visit the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis or call 465-2288 extension 1101 or 469-5416 to make an appointment to discuss our debt evaluation and restructuring plan with one of our qualified officers. We are committed to working with you to make a sustained positive difference in your life.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure, touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
And Rohan, welcome to the Blue Table tonight. And we have a number of news items on the agenda to discuss. Now, I want to get into all that, but first and foremost, I want to make an announcement. And then I have a few comments to make about responded to one Don Mitchell QC. I believe that he did some work out of Angola and other Caribbean territories. And I also believe that he has some petition blood in him or something like that. And I also believe that QC, I think, is Queen's Counsel, an esteemed honor and honoree. So but I need to address him tonight. But first, I want to let the listeners of the Blue Table know that all this podcast that we're doing, it was never really the initial set out of the Blue Table. You know that we did on Facebook, Facebook Live and stuff like that. Now, the Blue Table was also set out to be taped in front of a live TV audience at the Nevis Performing Arts. We call it NEPAC on Nevis. But there was a delay due to logistics. We delayed. That was in 2019. That delay, Rohan. And then in 2020, there was COVID. And because of that, we were unable to present the Blue Table in a different format, not discussing news, but other stuff that in 2020 because of COVID. And now we're here in 2021, and I intend to follow through with the plan, the initial plan of the Blue Table, and that is to be aired in front of a live TV audience, and this will be done in a few months. Right now, we have started to re-oil the machinery for that to make sure that this happens this year. We will have guests from all parts of the world, including St. Kitts and Nevis, who will tell their story and just speaking on trendy issues. It can be a movie star from one of your favorite television shows. It's not Oprah and I'm not Dr. Phil, but I'm just Mervyn Hanley and I'll be doing it my way. Who did that song? My way. It's not coming.
I did it my way. Frank?
Yeah. Is it? I can't even remember who did my way. Okay. Okay.
My way.
Yes. Okay. So I'll be doing it my way. And so we will keep the Blue Table podcast Monday to Thursday, but we will do the once monthly in front of a live TV audience and then take it from there. So that is some good news I wanted to share with you, Rohan, and I'll get your thoughts on that, if any, and then we can continue with the Blue Table tonight.
Well, delayed, not denied. And so it's good to hear that the machine is getting oiled and greased and being repositioned to take the initial format of the Blue Table. So that is good news. I mean, in all of it, you have continued to press on, despite the delays, the format which you originally had. You have pressed on, and so good news to the listening public. They'll get a chance to see you at least once a month in the first instance.
Yes, in the first instance. You make that sound like some announcement the Prime Minister or the Premier will make in the first instance when they're talking about curfews and all of that. But but speaking of all of that, you know, I want you to take a listen to someone who's supposed to be a learned judge or a QC or was or whatever the case may be. So let's take a listen to Don Mitchell. He made comments on a radio program on Anguilla, Class FM, with popular DJ Hammer there on his radio station. And they were talking about the COVID situation. And it's a bit lengthy, maybe a couple of minutes, 5 minutes, folks. But let's listen to someone who called themselves who called himself a judge. Let's listen to this.
I'm sure you're hearing all the chat on Bill Gates is a proponent for depopulation, I'm hearing. And
that's stupidness. I mean, we all know that the earth has got too many people living on it. We all know that the reason for all of these zoonotic diseases where bats are infecting people is due to the massive overpopulation of the earth, causing people to live in areas where wild animals only used to live before, and their viruses are spreading to us. So he's right. I mean, I personally am in great favor of people only having children when they want to, not having accidental births. I think it's very sad, really. All these people who are against abortion and who are against family planning, I think they're crazy people. I think we should all practice family planning and only have the children that we want.
All right.
But that is not the way how it happens, as we know. Most children are born by accident. Most children are unwanted when they're being carried by the mother, because the mother knows that she don't have a man to support her, and she's not going to be able to take care of it properly. Most babies are not wanted at a certain point. Of course, nature being a wonderful thing, nature has worked out a way to make us eventually want the baby, and all babies eventually are wanted, no doubt. But family planning is vitally important. And Bill Gates has been putting a lot of money into family planning. That's where the story about him wanting to kill off the population comes from. He has been funding family planning associations around the world so that people will only have the babies they want to have.
But Don, we are, I mean, I'm not sure where you stand in terms of, you know, of the higher being and who is responsible for us being here on this earth. But I believe that we came from a God. That's my belief. And there's a controller of the universe. And these things are happening because he, whoever the controller is, allowed it to happen. You know, and he does a reason for why things happen. And there's a natural order. You don't believe that?
If I ever meet God, I'm going to give him or her a good slapping up. There has never been a more nasty, evil, vicious God than the one that our people worship so much. Imagine people are dying and our people are saying, God is great. God is wonderful. Our God. I don't believe in our God. Maybe the Buddhist God, maybe the Hindu God, but certainly not the Christian or the Jewish God or the Muslim God. That is a God of hate. That is the God who causes Nile River blindness to blind 500,000 babies in North Africa every year. What kind of a God sends a fly to lay an egg in the eye of babies so that they go blind? That is a merciful God? That is a good God? Is that a God who's wonderful? That's an evil God.
Oh my God.
I can't stand the idea of this God.
Wow, okay. Well,
I'm an atheist, by the way. I'm sorry, I'm not an atheist. I am a militant atheist. I believe that all preachers of religion will be condemned to eternal hellfire for teaching people about hell and hellfire. Let them go to hellfire themselves, all the people who preach religion.
Okay, okay. And now, Don, I have to go now, but I'll talk to you some more. We'll speak some more, Don. Take care, Don. Okay, thanks.
I'm so glad you gave me a chance to preach on the radio. Wonderful.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Have a good day, Don. Bye-bye, bye-bye. Wow, okay, so look at that, dear. Okay, so you heard from Don Mitchell, and he's a retired high court judge, really and truly, and shocking statements from him this morning here. But you heard what he said about that situation there. Very shocking indeed, and very shocking indeed. Okay, so you heard that here. I need to regain my balance here, my composure, and to come back and organize this here. Wow, okay. So folks, I'm 15 before 11. That's our time of this morning. Class FM, minus 2.9 here in the morning time. Eddie Kelly on the line now. Eddie Kelly, my brother. Eddie Kelly, high court judge, just little things there. So a serious thing. Hey, my brother, good morning to you. Good morning to you.
I'm here working, uh-huh. And I just happen to be listening to what Don Mitchell is saying. Uh-huh. And you know, Hammer, it's absolutely nuts, uh-huh. Right? Where we feel that because we have education that comes from school, that it gives us the ability to speak on every single topic with very little common sense, and to spew our feelings about situations that we have no knowledge of. Now, I would never speak for or against the vaccine, because that's every person's individual right, okay? Now, I took the vaccine because that was my right, okay? But to hear Don Mitchell speak about Bill Gates and all these other things, which he is doing the same thing that other individuals, the non-vaxxers, are doing. They're reading it, they're getting it off Google. He's reading it and doing the same.
He's reading it.
But to speak about family planning, uh-huh. right, and not understand uh-huh. how the largest family planning organization here in the U.S.
Uh-huh. Planned Parenthood
literally put a blight uh-huh. on black families in this country uh-huh. is insidious at best. Uh-huh. And I really would like Mr. Mitchell to do his history, to do his homework before he gets on the radio and speaks nonsense like this.
Boy.
How could you speak about family planning and not understand the history?
No. Senile. Listen, I know that Mitchell is in his sunset years, so I do not know if this is a part of that kind of language and rhetoric is a part of, I wouldn't want to be that at that age. I don't know if it's demented or simply looking attention. Now, in the past 20 months, I don't think I have heard anything so asinine. I mean, one is surely entitled to an opinion, but my word, this man is a former judge and his ideals are crazy at best. The world is overpopulated. By whose measure? Maybe we can argue that the population allocations disproportionate, and that some countries could do with more people while others a little less. Yeah, we can probably say that. And he speaks with such a condemnation and ridicule for people, as if to suggest he's the only sane one. People are crazy for supporting pro-choice and pro-life, but he's somehow sane for his thoughts. He wants people to burn in hell, fire, but doesn't believe in Christianity. Now make that make sense. Burn for teaching religion, but doesn't believe Christian and Jewish God is a good, maybe a Muslim or a Hindu God. And all religion speaks not some some form of punishment. Now this guy's out of touch and wanted his 15 minutes of fame. And I'm sorry I added a couple more minutes to that, but he should really get no more. But you just listen to that. What do you think? And a matter of fact, I mean, I want this probably broadcast, this particular podcast. I don't know who. If there is some tribunal or something somewhere, I know in the United States, Rohan, when you hear a crazy judge speaking like that, then they would look, there'll be an investigation with a grouping, trying to analyze decisions that he would have made, knowing the comments that you are now hearing, to go back and look at his past judgments in court matters. This is insane.
I mean, I don't know how to respond to, I have a difficulty responding to things that I I think, are lunacy. I mean, one would think that his position would require him to be a little bit more circumspect in his discourse. I mean, mm-hmm. I listened to him, and I don't know. His rant didn't seem to connect for me in a sense that he clearly demonstrates on one end he is pro-choice and pro-life and speak without any facts of what he speaks about. I mean, I would like to know by what determination he concluded that most of the world's children or most of the world's inhabitants were mistakes. And he doesn't take kindly to a Christian God or a Jewish God and probably a Muslim or a Hindu. So, I mean, within that sphere that he speaks about, how many Muslim and Hindu families had children? And are all of those children within the realm of family planning? Or none of those children were mistakes? So only a set of people he's referring to. Jewish and Christian people, those are the only people who had children by mistake. That is something very interesting to listen to. And then people who preach religion should burn, research should burn in hell, mm-hmm. burn by fire, mm-hmm. some story. So again, and I go back, Muslim, that's a religion, Hindu is a religion, and they all speak and preach of some form of punishment or the other. So I am trying to figure out how he chooses one against the other when all of them, by some measure, have the same value in their teaching. I mean, I grew up Christian, and I understood the word to say that God gave man dominion over earth. He gave you a choice, and that choice today reflects in almost. Well, it reflects in every human's life, and it reflects in almost all the constitutions that are written around the world, except, because even in communist countries, you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You either be communist or you suffer the consequences thereof. But there is the fundamental right to choose, and God had given his people dominion over us and the right to choose. And you know, it's easy to blame somebody when things go wrong. And who do you blame? There's a higher being. And people preach the goodness of God, and so people, it's easy to turn and say, God isn't good because so many people are dying, and so on and so on. And I guess that is how some people feel. You know, I asked them, Marvin, what could have happened in his life that he has such what I would call hate for God, because I think in his course he said if he was ever to meet. You
yes.
heard that he would want a smack or something
like
yes,
that. Yes,
yes. You know, so, I mean, I hope he gets his chance to meet the maker.
I hope and, so too. And then we'll find out who'll get the real smack.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of smack is being leveled. But hey, what can you say? 2020, 2019 through to 2021 has taught me and maybe most of us that we're all different people, and really and truly, everybody seeks that famed 15 minutes of fame. Once you get radical outside the box, and you know, everybody wants a go at national audience.
I am not sure if he's one of the victims of COVID, and that's one of the side effects. But if that's one of the side effects, I do not want COVID. I'm keeping away from that, so I will do whatever it is to protect myself. From that, if it's one of the side effects of COVID.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, mm-hmm. we can, one of the things we want to ensure people understand, though, is that at the Blue Table, we still support your right to an opinion. And you know, that is, if that is what he feels, then yeah, but be careful of what you opine. People are going to, as you would have rightfully said, people are going to reflect on what your opinions and what opinions you are sharing.
Now, speaking of Anguilla, we know the situation there in just a matter of days. It's 47 and counting as far as COVID cases. It's a very sad and unfortunate situation. I am looking on and I am seeing the comments made and seeing the postings by even ministers of government and others. And everybody is pointing fingers. You know, the blame game is on left, right and center. Some folks are saying that it was this started because of illegal entry into Anguilla. Some are saying it's because of the bubble wasn't really well sealed, because we had folks who entertainers, for example, who would have been visiting hotels to entertain the guests, the same guests who are in the bubble, and then they'll have to leave the hotel to go back home to family and friends. So I don't know, but they're just a lot of blame game here and there, but this is not the time for that. This is a time now for people to wear their mask, for people to stay at home. They have a 14-day kind of curfew, and it is a lockdown rather, kind of. And I say kind of because some folks are still out and about, and business places are still opening, are still opened. Some places I thought would have been closed, I see them as essential. They act as if they're essential businesses. So, but I want them to get the grips of this. I must say and applaud the health folks, the CMO and the health authorities there on the island, because I believe in a matter of days, over 700 people were tested. And so they are quickly doing their contact tracing and all of that. So that is very good. And I applaud them. I believe that they are doing a masterpiece of a job. And but it is just right now a sad and unfortunate situation. Anguilla, who would have made an announcement about the reopening and those who are fully vaccinated and the reducing quarantine or no quarantine and all of that. So I am sure now they'll have to go back to the drawing board or to see how this plays out in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we must always be mindful of is that the COVID-19 is a coronavirus much akin to the common cold, and we know how easily that can spread. And what is important as well is to understand and to appreciate and to accept that with COVID and with most things, the plan is 100% foolproof. You're going to have these breaks. Nevis has had that example. Singhis has had that example. What is working, what is good, though, is that the systems are giving countries within the region, especially those who have sound health practices, the opportunity to catch and to manage the situations effectively. Anguilla has demonstrated that. Look how quick they were able to recognize a cluster. I think it started with 6 or 7. In 3 days, they were able to test 722, I think is the exact number. They are going to continue their contact tracing. They have identified just short of 40 individuals with the COVID. Nobody is showing any severe cases as yet. And they are isolated and away from others. And so the systems in place are working. It is the simple measure of being able to go back now and say, okay, well, this is they can now pinpoint and say, well, this is where the COVID was able to get through, and how do we mitigate against that while still looking to move forward to reopening our borders. Countries are going to face those challenges, and it's just about being able to identify, to isolate, to mitigate and to manage situations like those. I mean, with all that said, we still come back to the priority of individuals to ensure their own safety. And despite the vaccine, what remains the fundamental and fundamentally important aspects of our defense is wearing our masks and practicing proper hygiene. And once we are doing that, once we are covering our mouth and our nose and washing our hands and sanitizing, those practices become ingrained in our minds, become second nature. And so we are constantly ensuring that our masks are properly on and that we are washing our hands after contacting possibly high contaminated surfaces. It's going to be a journey to get to the point where you don't have to worry about that. And of course, we talk about getting to herd immunity. And of course, we know we have had the anti-vaxxers and those people who share genuine concerns about the vaccine and so on. And the constant cries of people to go and get vaccinated. And
yes, I am going to get to that. But let me ask you quickly, Rohan. I can understand if there's a widespread and you need to get it under control. Our countries then in the Caribbean, when we have cases, let's say we open our borders, whether it's in St. Kitts and Nevis or wherever. When I say open, you know what I'm talking about. Full blown open.
Yeah.
And there are cases. Are we supposed to shut down our country, our countries, just because we have cases, even though we keep preaching, okay, this is the new norm, but we are saying it's the new norm. But then at the same time, when we have cases, we are closing down. Is that a part of the new norm?
I mean, presently it looks like that, but I don't see in the future that is going to be a continued practice. I think, and that is why I said the systems are allowing government to better forecast, to project, and to better look at how they can manage breakout situations. I mean, you take, for example, what I foresee happening is where you lock down or isolate areas where the COVID has the high concentration, because the rest of the country, being void of COVID, cannot every time so be closed down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a, let us say you have a cluster in St. James's here in Nevis, and you have identified and having done contact tracings, you're satisfied that, okay, look, this outbreak is concentrated here. And then so you deploy your resources to manage that area and to secure that look like, you know, people who are in this area, you're under certain quarantine until X, Y, Z. It is going to have to become a part of the government's and regional government's philosophy and mandate policy that they seek to isolate areas where COVID has actually, there's a breakout. Because if you're going to shut down your country every time there is a cluster in certain parts of the country, then you might as well keep it closed.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, let us take a break. And when we come back, I want to touch on Nevis's premier, the Honorable Mark Brantley, his continuous plea in getting his people vaccinated. We'll hear from Khaled Son's Bakery on St. Martin and Affluent Homes on Nevis. We'll be right back. I am Mervyn Henley with Rohan Isles. One second.
I'm very hungry.
Whoa, was that your stomach? You need to get on down to Carl & Son's Unique Bakery, your number one spot for sandwiches, pastries, cakes, and more for breakfast and lunch. Are you in a rush? Call in your order at 543-1059 for town and 544-2462 for Cold Bay. Follow their Facebook page to see their daily lunch specials. Carl & Son's, the right choice since 1982.
It's been a while that you're thinking or dreaming of your new home. Let Affluent Homes turn that dream into reality. Leave it to us to deliver. A team of architects and designers have created award-winning designs. We will work with you to develop the distinctive look you envision. For real estate development, property sales and management, you must think of Affluent Homes Limited. Check out our website at www.affluenthomesnevis.com or email us merchant@merchantlc.com or call us today at 1-869-665-2121. Affluent Homes Limited.
Mervyn Henley will inspire. Mervyn Henley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice to your tragedy. Television, online, and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Henley.
Okay, so we're back. Welcome to the Blue Table. In case you're just joining us, I am Mervyn Henley and my co-host this evening, Rohan Isles. We were speaking about all the appeals and the lockdowns and stuff like that. I continue to hear the Premier of Nevis, Rohan, the Honorable Mark Brantley. He would have, if it's one thing you can say about him, is his continuous plea in asking people to get vaccinated, to make wise decisions, in posting the numbers and encouraging and trying to motivate his people to vaccinate. And it is only the best thing to do as a leader of any territory. So he's mm-hmm. doing that. And some are doing it, even though I believe the numbers have slowed up a bit dramatically, if I may say so. And we are on to soon the second dose of the vaccines. They are there. And so even then, I reflect as I'm speaking to you, I reflect on a report that came out on Sunday, the New York Times report, and it spoke about over 5 million people have missed their second, the second doses of whether it's the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccines. So people now, I don't know what the issue is. They are reluctant in either reluctant or they forget. Well, I can't see how they forget, but in taking that second dose. So that is becoming a concern. But I see in Nevis where they, on Nevis where the Premier, the Honorable Mark Brantley, he's doing his best in this regard in trying to encourage and to get out the people to vaccinate.
Yeah, I mean, earlier at the Blue Table, we did speak about the importance of that second shot, and that was one of the concerns. People would have gotten their first shot and not returned for the second shot. And be it that is, maybe people may be saying, look, I have some level of coverage now. If I get COVID, I'm a little stronger than I was without the first shot, and so I will take my chances there. And what is happening is that some vaccines present a high level of protection with one shot. Of course, the complete shot gives you a greater protection. But I think some people are moving with the confidence in, I have a 70% coverage here with that first shot, not going back for the second one. Some people are saying, listen, there have been some reports of XYZ. So a lot of things are going to be on the minds of humans. Nobody wants to be that particular statistic, that collateral damage statistic. So it is going to take another campaign to get people to get that. Here at home, the Premier continues to call on its citizens to take the vaccine. Of course, in St. Kitts and Nevis, there has been a rather strong opposition to the AstraZeneca. Sometimes I wonder if it's because it doesn't come out of the US, but we tend to have a strong influence of European, North American cultures. But any which way, there's a strong opposition to AstraZeneca. I'm not talking, well, let us put it out there. People have real concerns and real issues. We continue to encourage people to find a practitioner that they are comfortable with, get their questions answered. If their questions are answered and they're willing to take the vaccine, then they do so. If they are still skeptical about it and don't want to, then fundamentally that, again, is your right. Continue, though, however, to research and find information. And when you get to the point of comfort, you take the vaccine. I mean, again, you have a choice, and the choice is yours to make. So I don't know what else the health officials and the Premier Nevis are going to come up with. Maybe, you know, I think it was Dr. Kelvin Daly who intimated that some countries are using external motivation, some incentives to.
Are we talking about financial incentives?
Well, either way, you know, I don't recall if there was any monies involved in his examples. I think the examples he brought forward were in China, they were giving away free hamburgers. I think in Germany, they were doing pizza.
Free hamburgers, Rohan?
Yeah, and surprisingly, there were a large amount of individuals who showed up for those vaccines.
Who showed up to take vaccine for a free hamburger?
Yeah, I think and you know, it's about understanding culture and demographics as well.
Well, that is true too.
In China, and hamburger is a big thing, but the access to it is not
fried chicken and goat water is a big thing on St. Kitts and Nevis.
So KFC.
So can you see people lining up? You're saying culture, but let me push back on you here. Can you really see people lining up in to take a vaccine to get KFC?
Maybe if it's a bucket of KFC.
I am just trying to give you a hard time with that China burger.
Yeah, I know. I think the heart of the point he was trying to make was the incentivization of it. And people may say, oh, you're paying people to take a vaccine. But the reality is, this has never changed. If you want something, sometimes you have to pay for it. You have to incentivize it. That is the reality of life.
That is so true.
I'm not saying that is what should happen. I'm just saying those are means and ways. And sometimes you might be surprised. Maybe there is 3,000 people out there who are actually saying, hell yeah, Give me $500 and I'll take the shop.
Right.
And that may very well be a reality.
Well,
we spoke about population a little while ago, Marvin, and the population, I think is the name, is presenting the leaders of these twin islands a unique challenge. And I think that is why you hear them push so much. Because it is going to require the total eligible population taking the vaccine to get the herd immunity.
Hmm.
So that population of people that can take the vaccine are going to have to take the vaccine.
And it's not, and I'm happy that you say that. So it's not because Nevis is 12,000 people and we get our 70% there on Nevis, that means it's herd immunity. It doesn't work like that. It is the entire population of St. Kitts and Nevis.
Yeah, because it's one economic space, it's one health space, and and I don't think Nevis has the authority to close its borders from St. Kitts within the geographical space. And so you're going to need that group of people to go out and take the vaccine. The last thing I want to say on this is that doctors and scientists around the globe continue to put forth to the nations, the citizens of the nations around the world, the safety and efficacy of the vaccines that are available in doing what they should do. Of course, you're going to have those that are going to be unique in their outcome with relation to the vaccine, because nothing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the position is herd immunity presents the best chance of getting rid of the COVID-19, because the higher the number of people vaccinated, the less likely it is to transmit the virus. And even if it transmits in a weakened form, it's not as strong. That is what I'm getting from my reading. Another thing is earlier today I read that a person fully vaccinated is less likely. How much less likely? Not sure, but it's less likely to transmit the virus to somebody else. So, it's what we are comfortable with as humans. I'm not going to knock anybody for having concerns or not wanting to take the vaccine.
To each his own.
Make your decision.
And the BVI, they're lifting the quarantine for folks who are fully vaccinated. That's coming up, I think, from mid-May, if I'm not mistaken. That's the Premier Andrew Foy's administration. So, BVI is saying, hey, we have to do what we have to do. We think we are listening to our CMOs, our health experts, and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, I think it's from the 15th of May, and I think Andrew Foy is comfortable with one, his mechanisms in terms of identifying, isolating, and mitigating against COVID if there is an outbreak. He's comfortable with the information from his medical staff. He's comfortable with CDC's recommendations, WHO recommendations. He's comfortable enough to say, listen, I believe that fully vaccinated people are less likely to transmit the COVID.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he still has a fail-safe in place. And his fail-safe is his first response. He's saying, listen, even if you're fully vaccinated, you're going to have to present us with a negative PCR test.
Yes.
That is the first fail-safe. And if it is negative, then you're going to, if you're positive, then you're going to have to do the 14-day quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not just blanketly and full-hearted saying, listen, whosoever may come, once you're done, get your two shots. Jump on a plane and come to BVI. No, he's saying, yeah, you can come, but these are the conditions.
Yes.
And his first fail-safe again is a negative test. And if you have a negative test, then you are allowed to enjoy the beauties of one of the region's most spectacular group of islands, the British Virgin Islands. So,
oh yes, and I'll be enjoying those beaches very soon. Now, Rohan, that's it for today, tonight's Blue Table. But let me ask you before you go, how has it been for the past couple of days? You have been declared a candidate for the Nevis Reformation Party's St. George constituency. I have been watching, I have been reading. And of course, you know that you have my full support. NRP is not a party that I support. I have never supported the Nevis Reformation Party, but now I have a friend, a brother, a co-host who is now a part of the team, and I have to support you. I am supporting you, right? I am not against anyone. Of course, I know the Honorable Eric Evelyn, who you're running against. He's a very good man. I am not against Eric. I am not against the CCM, but I just have to support my brother. And I'm sure anybody with common sense, because a lot of people acting lately without the common sense, but anybody with common sense, I'm sure they can understand that I am supporting you, Rohan Isles, as the candidate for that seat. Whether or not you win it, that's a different story. That's not what the argument is about. It's just some folks seem to be up in stitches and up in whatever they're wearing regarding my support for you. My support for you transcends party lines. It has been a long time. It's not just for political party. So I just wanted to make that clear. There is one other candidate that I plan to support in the St. James's constituency. Who knows? It can be Dr. Janice Daniel Hodge. It can be even Alexis Jeffers. So I can support one in NRP and one in CCM, or two in NRP and whatever the case may be. But in a few weeks, I plan to make that known, because I do not want to give the impression that I am, you know, I just want to be clear very early o'clock where I stand, unless things change in the future. But I plan to make that clear on my stance as far as my own constituency on St. James in the island, on the island of Nevis. But just a few, how has it been for you thus far?
Yeah, I mean, if I can answer from the last, going back to the first. I mean, we've got to get to the, well, I mean, we're getting to the point where our politics has got to be more than party affiliations, especially for people who toe the independent line. Of course, they're going to be the faithfuls of a visor political party, mm-hmm. and we recognize, we appreciate that, and people support political parties for varying reasons, and that is for them, and no one can knock them for that. And what is important is that the maturity of our politics gets to the point where a CCM person can vote for an NRP candidate based on the context of the times we're living in, mm-hmm. and the situations we're living in, the policies and ideas that are being brought forward by the political, the particular candidate, and vice versa in that role. We have got to mature our politics to the point where we look at what is important and not who is important.
Mm-hmm.
If I may say that in that realm. And so we get to that point and we move forward. I mean, there is no secret. I've made no bones about it. You and I are, as you said, our relationship, our friendship transcends political lines and political situations. It's just so happened that at this point in time, my political career has come full circle for me. It has always been a dream, and I saw the opportunity, and I am taking it in an effort to serve the good people of St. John.
And I know you really, and that's another thing too, another reason why I am supporting you, because I know that you are you just want to serve. Almost every conversation that we've had, you talk about serving people, assisting people, making people's lives better. So for you, this is about service. You're not one who's hungry for power. You're not one who is, it's all about service for the people. It's all about the people for you. So I had no choice.
It is true. I mean, and I am sure I'm going to get the opportunity to tell my story. One that creates a lot of emotions for me, and it is what drives me to want to serve, because I understand, I know, mm-hmm. what it is like to not have, to yearn for more, to want more in an honest and productive way. And then if we can, and I said this, if my journey takes me to the end and I have changed the life of just one person, then it would have been worth it. That is where I'm looking to go. I'm looking to just, you know, open, be myself, let people see me for me, let my possible policies and plans speak for me and convince as many people as I can to help me, to journey with me to the top of Mount Everest. That is what you're saying. My climb is, my journey to victory is like climbing Mount Everest. And
I thought you were going to say climbing Rollins Mountain.
Well, I think we can climb Rollins Mountain. that wouldn't be difficult at all. But just to, you know, share what you're saying. But I am comforted in the fact that people have summited Mount Everest. The last couple of days from Unimogen, I thought I was well known on Nevis. I think I thought, listen, everybody in Nevis must know me. I'm always on television, always with a mic in my hand, always talking. The last few years I've done interprimary coverage for NTV. So people know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then my announcement happened and then people really know who I am. I've gotten calls and people have stopped me in the street, and of course the famous question is, you're Rohan. Some people don't know my first name, so they just say Iles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, yes, that's me. And they'll share their sentiments, whether they support me or they don't support me. And my response is always the same. Thank you, and I appreciate it. If you, it is my job to convince you to support me, is it not? And for those who support me, thank you for joining me this early in the journey. I look forward to better things to come. But it's been a good last few days. I'm settling down now, good stuff.
Well, good stuff indeed. Rohan Iles, I want to thank you for joining me tonight at the Blue Table, and we'll do this again on Thursday. Thank you again, and God bless.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we were listening to Rohan Iles, the co-host of the Blue Table, and I want to thank you, our listening audience, for joining us tonight. Do join me again tomorrow evening for a similar presentation. Thank you to all my sponsors. Thank you to the listeners near and far all across the globe who logged on nightly Monday to Thursday to listen to The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley. Have a good night.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.